me to the book of Psalms. We're going to start out in Psalms chapter 74, verse 20. And I want you to think about that that picture, that map that we had up on the screen right there. Now, the context of this particular scripture is in regard to God's covenant with Israel. And often we see David and other psalmists going back and reminding God of scriptural references. And that's a blessing. That's generally not because God's forgetful, but because we are. Amen? And it's good for us to have that reiteration. But this is a time when Israel is being chastened. And there's a reminder. We're going to look at it from a different perspective than the psalmist is. But it has a good... it has the same effect where it is. So he says, "Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for Loomis Park Baptist Church. I thank you for your hand upon them and using them to bless us and help us to further the gospel reach and outreach into the dark places of Alaska. And Father, I ask that you would bless now as we labor in your word, that your Holy Spirit, Father, might be our teacher tonight. And Father, that no one would leave tonight the same way that they came in, but that we might be made closer to the image of Christ, Father. Especially, Father, I lift up to you anyone here who's not saved. If there's someone who's lost, Father, I pray you draw them to your Son. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at this from a perspective, Israel was looking at this from the perspective of begging God not to turn them loose to the heathen because of their cruelties. And that's good. I mean, if America was not taking the light of the gospel into the world, I believe God would have turned us loose a whole long time ago because, I mean, this country deserves it. Amen. There's one statement that our current president has made that I agree with, and that is America is not a Christian nation. There's a day when it was. Amen. But now you look at the atrocities that are committed in this nation, and it's hard for us to say that this is where America stands. Amen. This is where I stand. But those dark places that are out there in the world, they don't only affect you and I. They affect themselves. And as we look at Alaska and we look at those villages that are separated away from what we would call civilization, the light of Jesus Christ is in the very fiber of America and our government, our structure, our laws. You can't go anywhere in the United States without being blessed by Christianity and the effect that Christianity has had on America. But the further you get away from that, then the further you get away from the blessings of it. And as we get out in these villages, we see the effect of darkness. And we see the cruelty. I mentioned fetal alcohol syndrome. Imagine two generations of children that are unable to think. Unable to put things together, to understand simple math. Imagine going through being a school teacher and teaching to these children and you labor all day long and then they finally get it. And I'm sure you've had this opportunity, but you talk to somebody and you're trying to convince them of something, or you're trying to share a truth with them, and then the light bulb turns on and they get it. And you go, praise the Lord. And then tomorrow, it's gone. You got to start all over again. And it's the same way with the gospel. The difference is we have the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. We're not bound to human reasoning when it comes to the gospel. But that effect of the fetal alcohol syndrome is still there. And then those children grow up to be adults and they have children and they get locked into this same battle of alcohol and they destroy their own children in the womb. And once that has happened, there's no fixing it. It's done. And so right now in Circle, we have... And Circle's not isolated in this. Most all your native villages up there are this way. We have at least two generations of people that suffer from this fetal alcohol syndrome. There's other atrocities that happen. There is not... I was talking to one of the high school teachers several years ago, and I asked him this question because I was seeing changes in our teenagers. Those kids that were 8 to 12 when we first started up there in Circle in 2005, February of 2005, I was seeing changes in them where they were just hardening the hearts. I mean, you could just tell one day everything was good, and then the next Sunday, it was like somebody flipped a switch and this girl's heart was just so hard. And so I talked to Brian about this and I said, if you were to put a number on it, how many of the girls in this village that are teenagers would you say have been abused? And he said, oh, 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt. And now this is a school teacher. And I said, well, can't you do something? And he says, no, if I take that girl out, then I got to take that one out, then I got to take that one out, and I got to take all of them out, and what they're going to do is they're going to throw me out. So the best thing that I can do as a school teacher is to create a safe haven for them. And so, you know, what is that? That's a product of the darkness, the cruelties that are there. And so, you know, how do we fix these problems? Well, we got to dispel the darkness. Amen? We have to dispel the darkness. So, in Psalm 74, verse 19, he says, O deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. The verse preceding the one that we just initially read. That turtle dove being Israel. But I'd like you to think, just for the sake of the message tonight, to put yourselves into that place. Think of your own children being in that place. Think of your own grandchildren being in that place. What would you be willing to do in order to get rid of the darkness? Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. In order to get rid of the darkness, we have to understand where that darkness comes from. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Turn with me now, staying in Ephesians to chapter 6 and verses 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." See, right now, in all of those villages that had a black name, there is, the devil's work is easy. There's no one up there bringing the light. He doesn't have to blind them against the gospel in that sense. Now, praise the Lord, God designed this world so that the creation itself will proclaim Him, even His eternal power and Godhead. However, He designed this such that what they need is a preacher. Amen? How can they hear except... Amen. There's a preacher, and that preacher be sent. Amen. But what we have here is an understanding that the dark places of this world are under the control. The whole world, Satan is given the title of the prince of the power of the air, not by himself, but by God. He's been given that authority. When Satan had Jesus Christ and was tempting him in the wilderness, and he offered all the kingdoms of the world, do you think he had those kingdoms to offer? I think he did. I think that was a just offer that he was extending. Now, Jesus Christ doesn't need them offered to him from Satan. He's God. He can take them if he wants to. But the way that they are right now, Satan has them. Now, we have one tool to pull these people out of his grip. And that is the gospel. Turn with me, please, to the book of Luke in chapter 2 and verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You know, Satan wants to destroy you. Did I hit the wrong verse? Yeah. Luke 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Sorry about that. I get that from my pastor. It's funny, at camp meetings where he's preaching, there'll be a group of us, and he'll do that same thing about half a dozen times throughout the message, and we'll say, "Yep, that's our preacher." But Satan wants nothing more than to destroy the Christian. He wants to distract the Christian. He's already got the world. Amen? The God of this world, He wants to blind them. He wants to keep them. But you, He wants to destroy. He wants to distract. He wants to prevent you. You know, there was a time in my life when I, as a Christian, was concerned about my own salvation. I was confused about some things, and I spent a lot of time focusing on who? Me, number one. And you know, while I was distracted with that, guess how much I was soul winning? Amen? Because I was worried about me. The devil will use lots of different tools in order to distract us. The world is a real easy one for him to do that. What we have to do is we have to keep the main thing, and that is the gospel. Believing and knowing that what work He started in us, He began in us, He's gonna continue it unto the end. Amen? And you know, it's a blessing to us coming back after being gone for 10 years to know that this church is still soul winning on Saturdays. Amen. Praise the Lord. And by the way, that's not just your pastor's responsibility. Amen? That's not just a few in the inner circle, if you want to call it, that's responsible. That's not the deacon's responsibility. Amen? That is every single person. Saturday soul winning should look like this. Amen? And I don't know. Maybe it does. And if it does, praise the Lord. It's an encouragement to us to know that you folks are holding the fort as we were singing it. So let's keep it simple. Point number one: the world is darkness. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Point number 2. Light dispels darkness. And God said, "Let there be light." I love the rest of this verse. And there was light. Did you know that there's only one part of God's creation that will disobey God on a regular basis? And it's us infernal beings. I don't understand why God puts up with me. I don't understand why God puts up with any of us. It's His love, but He does. You know, even the demons, when Jesus walked about on this earth, when He got into their presence, they said, "O thou Son of God, have mercy on us." The demons proclaimed who He was. And yet man will take God's name in vain. I don't understand it. But here, light obeyed God. And when light came on, darkness fled. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
Point number 3. Jesus Christ is light. John chapter 9, verse 5. Jesus Christ says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." John chapter 12, verse 46. "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You and I have been empowered because of the light of Jesus Christ that we would not abide in darkness. Point number 4. We are light because of Christ in us. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus Christ says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid." Now, he said previously, "I am the light of the world." Now he says here, "Ye are the light of the world." There's no contradiction there. This is a fulfillment. Jesus Christ is still the light of the world. He's just shining through you and I now. He Himself is in the heavens. Through you and I, Jesus Christ in us, and His Word, light shines. And it shines just as bright. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? So in those dark places, they're dark, but they don't have to stay that way. Amen? They need somebody to carry that light. I was going to, if it was going to get dark enough outside, I was going to do a little object lesson. My son's got an LED lantern. I was going to have the lights turned off and we'd just turn that little lantern on. And you would see that, and this is real easy for us up there because let me tell you, in January in Alaska, it's dark. Amen? And I mean, it you can see stars that you didn't know were there. And that ability for light to resonate is because of how dark it is. And so here's the point. Here's the object lesson. The darker dark is, the smaller light it is necessary to dispel it. Now sometimes we turn on a big light. And boy, there's nowhere, there's no shadows, there's no crack that the darkness can hide in. And you and I, we carry the greatest light in us. And so, you know, we need not be afraid of darkness. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. Chapter 2, verse 15. That's not it either. Oh, yes it is. All right, there we go. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So here's what I want you to consider. Remember a moment ago I said, now for the sake of this message, picture those dark places that we looked at on that map. Picture those places with your family there, your children there, your grandchildren there. Think of the atrocities that happen in that darkness. Consider the cruelty that man is capable of. Hey, let me tell you, when I was a sailor, these sailors, we would get out in the ocean and we'd be gone from civilization for 30, 60 days. The further we were away from civilization, the more wicked these sailors would become. And here in Alaska, you get up into that Arctic Circle, you've got people that just live away from civilization. And the hearts of man are wicked, deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? Amen? Would you want somebody to bring the light to them if it was your family? I would. Amen? And we are so thankful that you, Loomis Park Baptist Church, have been part of sending us to Alaska that we might. And what we have accomplished here in Circle is not what Nathan Smoot family have accomplished. It's what God has accomplished using us as a tool. But one of the key elements of what we've seen accomplished there is Circle is not your standard Athabascan village. You go to somebody in Circle and you say, where are you from? They're going to say, I'm from Vinatai. I'm from Arctic Village. I'm from Chalkeetsik. I'm from Fort Chukon. None of them are from Circle because Circle was not an Indian village. Circle used to be the largest city in Alaska. Had 8,000 people in it. Now it has 50. It was a white man village. It was a trading post village during the gold mining days of the 1800s. Now those natives that live there are from somewhere else. They have family in all these other dark villages. So what we've been praying about is that God would allow us to use them as open doors in these other villages. Because when you go into an Indian village in Alaska, you don't belong. If you're from Vinatai and you go into Chalkeetsik, they might kill you. They don't like each other. The only thing they have in common is how much they dislike us. But if I go into Chalkeetsik and I say, I'm a friend of the Nathaniel family, and maybe I have Paul Nathaniel with me, now I'm coming in as a friend. If I go into Arctic Village and I'm a friend of the Tritts, or I go into Vinatai as a friend of the Tritts as well, because they're in both, or the Erics. God's opening doors there. The problem right now is we don't have the means to take advantage of that open door. So I would ask that you would covenant with us in prayer over this. But more importantly to any of that, the same darkness that abides up there abides in Jackson, Michigan. Amen. And I would not even attempt to assume that there might not be someone in the walls of this auditorium who is lost and without Christ. If there's anyone here who has never trusted in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the most important thing you can do right now is give your life to Him. What God's using us for up there, what God is doing up there in the lives, He can do in your life also. It doesn't matter what has taken place. Don't leave this place without getting that settled. Well, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to your pastor now.